Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to another episode in our Premier League season preview series, where we are going to look ahead to the upcoming season with a couple of sides and see how we think they are going to get on the new season. But days away, and we are here today, go through the list, on Manchester United and Newcastle United. Lots to talk about, very different things to talk about with these two sides. As always, I'm joined by Andrew Pollard to preview the upcoming season. Exciting times to be a Man United fan, Andrew. Are they possibly whisper it title contenders for this season?
Oof. I think they could be thereabouts. It is. It's an exciting time, I think, for United. It seems like there's a buzz back around Old Trafford again. I guess figuratively, not literally, because there is no fans there. but yeah, there is very much that figurative buzz. Just from the, I thought towards the second half of last season, really, it feels like, I don't know, there's a belief that they can win things. Solskjaer's got some of that belief back about the players there. He's got them playing well. Obviously, Bruno Fernandes coming in January just was revelatory for them, and that was just such a an influential signing he became so quickly.
Right, yeah. You see that with January signings, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a lot of time in January. I remember with United, God, whenever it was, 2007, maybe six, when they signed in January, they signed Patrice Evra and Manu Vidic, and they both looked absolute toilet for the rest of the season. Obviously went on to become two of the greatest defenders that the Premier League era has ever seen, and won a whole load of trophies for many, many years. So, yeah. But no, Bruno just settled in instantly straight away. And there seems to be a very good positive vibe around Man United at the moment, even if, you know, a last-minute equaliser away from Twitter going mad with hashtag Ollie out. It seems that that's there at the drop of a hat of people calling for his head, but... yeah, if I was a Man United fan, I'd be looking forward to this season.
They're not going to like this, but I'm going to draw comparisons between Man United, Liverpool and Manchester City. Feels like there's a personality back at the club and a real togetherness, which is something that I've felt has been missing ever since Ferguson left.
Yeah, totally. On paper, David Moyes looked like a kind of a sensible appointment, you could say. And Fergie handpicked him, so you're not going to argue with Sir Alex Ferguson, I guess. Louis van Gaal... I love Louis van Gaal, but it just did not work out. Some of the stories you hear with where he was saying they needed players with pace who could carry the ball, and he signs Memphis Depay and Angel Di Maria, and you hear stories that he tells them not to run with the ball in the final third. It's like, kind of doesn't make sense. But anyway, yeah. Jose as well. And yeah, it seems under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, there is that. It just feels like there's a positive vibe, a character, somebody who gets the DNA of that club. It's, yeah, that term gets thrown around all the time with football clubs these days. It's all about the DNA of the football club. But if anybody knows Manchester United, it's Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and the players there. Most importantly, the players, they look, even the players who were disgruntled before, everybody looks like they want to play for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and that is a massive plus point.
Yeah, the rumours and issues surrounding Paul Pogba are never really going to go away, but they're certainly quieting down. I want to get to a dilemma at the other end of the pitch in due course. Before we talk about that, we'll talk about some important players for United. I mean, the potential of, you know, an attacking force that contains Rashford, Greenwood, Martial, Pogba, Fernandes, and now Donny van der Beek is mouthwatering.
Yeah, there's a lot of very good footballers there. In particular, I think that front three of Greenwood, Rashford and Martial with Bruno behind, just the pace from the three in front. And just, yeah, there's goals there. There's, well, they outscored, I think that front three scored more than Liverpool's front three last season. Liverpool, of course, who won the Premier League. So there's a lot of goals in this Manchester United team. And then that, there is Bruno Fernandes, who's just got goals, who's got creativity, who's got, even if he's not creating or he's not scoring, it's just he's got such a positive outlook in the sense of when he gets the ball, it's quick movements, it's looking forward, it's looking to play killer passes. And then, you've got Paul Pogba, you've got Donny van de Beek, who I think Donny van de Beek might initially start to play a little bit deeper, but he can play as a 10. Normally he plays as a 6. He can do a more defensive side of the game if needed. But, yeah, it is a mouthwatering prospect for Man United fans, I think. Just looking at the technical players there, you've got the attacking force you've got there. I'm looking forward to it as a neutral.
I think Wan-Bissaka, this could be a real breakout season for him as well. He didn't have a poor season last year by any stretch of the imaginations, but I think with such terrifying pace and skill all over that pitch, I think he's going to flourish in a scenario that. But the issue, which is what I sort of want to get onto, is it's all well and good scoring lots of goals. You've also got to stop teams scoring against you. And it's fair to say there's still a defensive frailty to Man United before we even talk about the goalkeeper situation.
Yes, very much so. Well, I mean, I think a big one as well is to look at how the events of the past few weeks may affect Harry Maguire going into the season. That you don't know. We've seen it with forward players where they've had off the field issues come up and it's made not a blip of difference to their performances. And we've seen with other players where it really bogs them down and it's something that goes on and plays in their mind and their form suffers on the pitch for months or even seasons. But yeah, there definitely are defensive frailties. I thought Wan-Bissaka had a really good season for the most part. There would be the odd stinker or two, but I thought for the most part, I thought he had a really good year. But I think so often with teams like this, and I think it comes down to consistency in terms of your bodies. And you look at that Man United backline, and Harry Wan-Bissaka played most of the games. Harry Maguire played, I think, every game. But other than that, there's players in and out. Whether it's like who starts alongside Maguire? Is it Lindelof? Is it Bailly? Is it Tuanzebe comes in? Phil Jones even got some games. And then at left back, you've got Luke Shaw in the team. You've got Brandon Williams getting a goal there, who I thought had a really, looks like a really good prospect. But I think they just need that stability in terms of playing with that back unit, the same back unit, for games and games on end. And we saw Solskjaer try not to change things too much towards the end of the season. But you kind of fear that was maybe because he couldn't, because we've seen it before. Well, there was the game against Sevilla where he left it to like the 89th minute to make a change because he clearly wasn't too trusting of the players on his bench. So I think if United can get a settled back line, including the goalkeeper, I don't know if that means they bring in another centre-half because they've been linked with some players like Dave Upamecano at RB Leipzig. Yeah, that would be a hell of a signing, but they've been linked with him. I think there was even a brief link with Matthias de Ligt again at Juventus. But if they're going to bring in the centre-half, great. But if not, I think they just need to pick, is it going to be Lindelof? Because it seems to be Lindelof. But then when Eric Bailly is fit, which is a big if a lot of the time, if Eric Bailly's fit, then he's been getting games as well. So I think Solskjaer needs to get his settled back five and stick to it as much as he can. That does involve, of course, the goalkeeper.
Yeah, unfortunately, no time to talk about the importance of Jesse Lingard on this side for today. Let's talk instead about the David De Gea dilemma, as we're calling it here at What Culture Football. This is something we've been speculating on for quite some time. The spectre of Dean Henderson hanging over De Gea. But then at the end of the day, it is still David De Gea.
Yeah. I prefer to say the Dean and David dilemma. D&D, go for triple Ds, as it were. It's a pickle. It's a pickle. You've got somebody who at one point, the peak of his powers, was, I would say, the best goalkeeper on the planet, who is still very much in the conversation for that. But, I mean, you have to look at last season and look at the mistakes he made. And, I mean, I'm one who will happily dig out Jordan Pickford for the multitude of mistakes he makes. But David De Gea, last season, he had a nightmare. And you're thinking, I don't know. There has to be a point where he either has to cut out those mistakes, which is easier said than done, it seems, or you seriously have to look at, right, okay, is it best if he moves on? Is he the goalkeeper he once was? Is it a case of maybe he needs a change of scenery to get his form back even? And I think, yeah, Dean Henderson, what was it, a five-year deal or six-year deal he signed recently? So clearly they Manchester United view him as, one, it's tying him down in case they do sell him, but I think that they view him as that long-term replacement for David De Gea. It's just, is that replacement, is that that time now? It's a tricky one. I do think De Gea will start the season, but I think as soon as there's even a slight blip, I think Henderson will get a chance, and it's up to him then to take that chance. But yeah, I think they'll start with De Gea, but what a conundrum to have, though, two very good goalkeepers.
Yeah, it's. I think what adds to it is this, the added sort of nuance to it is, of course, Real Madrid no longer looking for a goalkeeper. So that's taken out of it. But Dean Henderson isn't a goalkeeper that United are looking to sign. It's their goalkeeper who they've just sent out on loan, who was sensational for Sheffield United last season. And I sense that De Gea will get the nod, because I think if he wasn't, then they would have probably sold him right now. But very interesting to see what they do with Dean Henderson, because if he is told you're going to sit on the bench and you may not get that many games until we really feel like a change is completely necessary. Got a big tournament coming up next summer. The goalkeeper jersey is up for grabs. Is he going to want to go out on loan again somewhere else? It's going to be fascinating. And it's going to be something we're going to keep an eye on, because, yeah, one wrong move from David De Gea and you've got one of the most promising young goalkeepers waiting in the wings.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Let's move from one United to another, though. Let's talk about Newcastle United. Newcastle United fans will breathe a lot easier after the news of them signing Callum Wilson and Ryan Fraser, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, and I think especially with Ryan Fraser, because while it feels like Newcastle fans have spent the last 6 months or more kind of dreaming of this summer that was going to be hundreds of million being spent after the takeover that unfortunately didn't happen for Newcastle fans, the reality is that it's now a summer where, famously under Mike Ashley, purse strings are always tight. So I think in particular, the Ryan Fraser signing on a free transfer, I think that's a really good bit of business. Callum Wilson for 20 million, we talked about this earlier in the week. I think that is also a very good bit of business. And I think it suits the player, it suits Bournemouth, it suits Newcastle. And I think he brings, you look at the Newcastle attack last season and they're just, there was no goals. Poor Joe Linton, God bless him. He seems like a lovely fella and I really want him to do well, but I think it was two goals all season he got. And so Callum Wilson brings goals. He only got nine, I think, last season, but it was in a team that was in a relegation dogfight who didn't score many goals at all. I think bringing Fraser in is a great sign, and I think Callum Wilson's a great sign. And I'm a really big admirer of Jeff Hendrick. I think getting him on the free from Burnley was could prove to be a savvy piece of business as well. And then there's still talk of maybe some more signings, though Jamal Lewis, that seems to possibly be close to being a done deal from Norwich, which I think that's about 40 million is being talked about for that. That increases the fullback options. And then they seem to be looking at Rob Holding and I think it was Ainsley Maitland-Niles, which seems a strange one. I don't think he'd be going to Newcastle, but Rob Holding maybe from Arsenal. I think the positive thing for me if I'm a Newcastle fan is the big fear was it was going to be a summer of no business. So to at least hear them being rumoured to players and to having seen players come through the door at St James's now, I think that's a positive thing. But yeah, I fear it could be a tough season for the team.
Yeah, personally, until they made these signings, as much I really think Jeff Hendrick could be a difference maker for them. But until they signed Callum Wilson and Ryan Fraser, I would have had them nailed on alongside the likes of probably Fulham and Villa as my relegation candidates. I think Fraser and Wilson in particular could save Newcastle this season. You mentioned about the ability to sign them for next to nothing, and you know, a very discounted price for what you'd normally consider decent, you know, English players that would normally go for, obviously from a relegated side, but still, I think Ryan Fraser is still a very, very talented individual, and almost again will we want to be playing himself into the shop window, because we talked before about how he was being linked with Tottenham and all these other bigger sides prior to the issues with his contract, let's just say, at Bournemouth. But it's Wilson for me. I'm not suggesting he's going to go out there and bag 20, 30 goals. But if you've done any more sort of extensive research, which I have, because I was just weirded out by the whole Jolinton thing, I don't believe he's a bad player. Mm. I believe he's just been, and there's been a brilliant report, I can't remember where I saw this, about how he's been utilised in previous sides and how he's been brought into Newcastle and been told, right, you're just going to be a lone striker, and that's not what he was doing at his old club. I think if you have someone like Callum Wilson as a target man, and you've got players like Jolinton, and as we'll get on to, Alan Saint-Maximin playing off that, I think you're going to have a lot more joy. Look, Steve Bruce did the best he could with the resources he was given. It's going to be a tough old season for Newcastle regardless, though, but I think they could be the thing that keeps Newcastle up.
Yeah, they can only help. I think all signings are positive signings. And yeah, I think I always feel sorry for Steve Bruce as well. I think he very much got the best out of the side that he could last season. Yeah, okay, you've signed this striker for 40 million in Jolinton, and he's scored two goals. So maybe you're not getting the best out of him, like you said there, about maybe it's the way they utilise him. But it's a little bit like with Rafa Benitez before that, where you felt like Rafa got the very best out of what he could with that squad. And I think, yeah, it's definitely a lot more positive for Newcastle fans with these signings and with the possible incoming of Jamal Lewis and maybe a centre-half. I think, yeah, you'd like to bat Newcastle to stay up just because, I mean, everybody likes seeing Newcastle do well. Just the passionate supporters they've got, the sheer number and volume in terms of size and noise of their fans. Everybody likes to see Newcastle doing well. Maybe Callum Wilson is the one that will be the difference maker. Maybe he can get the best out of Jolinton if they play together. And you're thinking Callum Wilson, who has shown when he's fit and healthy in the right environment, he can get goals. The season before last with Bournemouth, you're thinking someone like him with the creativity of an Alan Saint-Maximin, the unpredictable creativity of Alan Saint-Maximin, you're thinking, yeah, that if that can click, then it could be a fun time for Newcastle this season. If it doesn't click, of course, then, yeah, ouch. Bring Dwight Gayle back in. But, yeah, I think, yeah, it's some at least some positive news for Newcastle fans who maybe thought it was going to be a really dull summer.
Yes, it was. It could have been a very, very different Premier League season preview for Newcastle had the takeover occurred. What is happening with Mike Ashley? It seems like a question we ask all the time. But, you know, there was things being reported when the takeover fell through that it was still being plugged away out behind the scenes. I doubt that now. But, I mean, It's the Newcastle United fans that I know and I work with. It is torturous, this. Is there anything we can offer of solace in terms of Newcastle fans?
I don't think there's any solace until Mike Ashley is out that door. It's just, he clearly doesn't want the club. He just wants to get rid of the club. And because he's only focused on getting rid of the club, then you know that he's not going to go out and spend massive amounts of money on this because he's a businessman and that just doesn't make business sense in one side. But then you think, well, if you do splash a bit of money on the club and maybe bring in some players that improve the squad and the quality and they can Newcastle can somehow push on a bit up the league, then that maybe makes them a more attractive proposition for any investors. But yeah, the bottom line comes down to he does not want to own that football club. And it's... it's a horrible situation to look at just from the outside, let alone if you're a Newcastle fan. It must be, like you said, torturous just to know that this man is running your football club.
It's just insanity because, you know, this is a, you know, we've seen, you know, huge companies come in and transform football sides, you know, all over the place. And it's Newcastle United, like you say, such a dedicated fan base. Yes, it's, you know, up the other end of the country to where most, you know, businessmen and players probably want to be. But at the end of the day, it is clearly a team crying out for investment. And for me, it's dealing with Mike Ashley and his valuation of it is the only thing that's stopping it, because you would assume anyone else would kind of snatch the hand off for an established Premier League side with such a great fan base and, you know, such potential too.
Yeah, yeah. It's one thing to say that a lot of footballers want to play in and around London or maybe Manchester or Liverpool. But I think the other side of that is that they're, no disrespect to Middlesbrough or Sunderland or Newcastle. I'm going to offend all three groups here. But there's that spotlight for, you think if you're an investor, you're thinking, well, there's already these massive teams in London and Manchester and Liverpool. So where can I invest that's different and can bring something to an area? And that Newcastle or Middlesbrough or Sunderland, they fit the bill. But right now, with Newcastle being a Premier League team, they very much fit the bill. So especially with that built-in fan base that are there already, this huge, passionate fan base, who are crying out for idols, whether it's on the pitch or off the pitch, somebody that's going to bring back those good days. And it's, my thing with Mike Ashley is, why did you buy this in the first place? Why did you buy that? And the obvious answer is that, yeah, he's running it like a business. If they get relegated, he's not too bothered. It's just a case of running it as little a cost as he can while trying to just edge a little bit of profit, edge a little bit of success, until eventually he can sell the club to whoever. But yeah, his valuation in the club seems high. And then finally this deal was going to happen and with Saudi Arabia and it didn't. It's the sort of club where if you're gonna buy a Newcastle United, you need to go all in on it, because it can be this great club. There's everything is there. The stadium, the facilities, the fans. The only thing that isn't there is the quality of football. And that's where somebody needs to come in and invest and throw some money at it. If you are gonna buy the club, it just seems like he's done it so half-arsed, so just basically to try and turn a quick profit. To me, as a complete neutral, I just think the sooner that he leaves that club alone, and the better, the sooner that somebody else runs Newcastle Football Club. But yeah, I must, if I was a Newcastle fan, I'd be pulling my hair up.
Yeah. Right. As we bring things to a close here, league table positions for the two Uniteds, Manchester and Newcastle.
I thought you were going to try to be more positive then. And so on the back of all that happy news, where are Newcastle going to finish? I think Manchester United, I think top four, which seems to me is a given. I don't think right now with the squad they've got as we're recording this, I don't think they're quite ready to match Liverpool, Manchester City and Chelsea, the three that I think will be in the title race. But I think United could be thereabouts. And if they could maybe get a centre-half in, a top class centre-half, before the deadline day comes, then maybe they could push on to be properly in the title race. As for Newcastle, I don't know. The signings they've made are the two that have come out today, the Callum Wilson and Ryan Fraser, I think that's massive. Do I think it's enough for them to stay up? I do. I think they've got enough there to stay up. And maybe they can, I don't know, I'm trying to think he might be out there, but if they can maybe pick up another few free transfers or just some bargains per se. I think someone like a Joel Veltman, who went to Brighton for 900 grand, that would have been a great fit for Newcastle. It's a great fit for Brighton though. But yeah, I think Newcastle will just about survive.
Yes. Yeah. They strike me as a very much a sort of 16th, 17th in the Premier League next season. And that's wishful thinking on behalf of my Newcastle friends. But I believe they're going to be just about good enough to stay up as a result of those signings. And, well, I suppose it all depends on how their form starts, because it's going to be very interesting to track that. Man United, yeah, top four, not quite a good enough challenge for the title, but I can see them getting some silverware and certainly having a lot of fun in the Champions League too. Do let us know your thoughts and predictions in the comment section below or on Twitter at WhatCultureFC. And whilst you're down there in the comments, let us know what else you'd like to see for us in terms of content as the Premier League season begins. We're, of course, going to do all the fantasy football stuff we usually do, but we are open to other ideas and open suggestions of what you guys would like to see. Let us know as well on Twitter, as I said as well, at WhatCultureFC, where you can follow both of us. Andrew, where can people get you on Twitter?
Then get me at CulturedLeftPeg.
And you can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureFC. As I said, make sure you like, share and subscribe. But this has been the Premier League season preview for Manchester United and Newcastle. We'll be back tomorrow with more sides, whatever ones occur alphabetically next. But for now, my thanks to Andrew Pollard. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.